This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
No, just excited to get to win.
Were fans yelling things at you from
the... Just excited to get to win.
Just excited to get the win. Same answer to a couple of different questions. He was asked about him interacting with some fans. Just excited. Did they yell anything at you? No, just excited. That's how the fans are treating Nick Sirianni after an Eagles win. So they're in disarray.
And you know that he has come out today and apologized for that, saying, quote, "I was trying to bring energy and enthusiasm yesterday, and I'm sorry and disappointed at how my energy was directed at the end of the game. My energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, and celebrating with our guys. And I've got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy, and that wasn't the time." Nick Sirianni today in his teleconference, his video conference after basically acting like a clown and getting called out this morning across all national TV pundit programs, and then he goes out on his teleconference and apologizes for his energy not being directed properly at the end of the game.
So the Eagles are 3-2, and that's what's going on after a win in Philadelphia. So things don't look or feel good there either. I know you're not a particular fan of Nick Sirianni, and I'm sure what happened yesterday might not make you any more of a
fan either. He's a clown. I mean, if he was like doing birthday parties for kids, I'd be a huge fan. If he was doing balloon animals with full face makeup, yeah, you're a clown. You're great.
But guess what? He's a football coach. So,
if he was my football coach, I'd be embarrassed. And it actually made me think a little bit more about Kyle Shanahan this morning and all the people who want to rip Shanahan for this and that. And you can, but I think about the way he comports himself, and he doesn't ever embarrass you as an organization. You may not like the play call. You may not like the challenges. You may not like the fact that he's buried in the laminated play sheet. Whatever you don't like about him, I don't think you can look at him and think, that dude's a clown. He embarrasses us, and I'm embarrassed to have him be our head coach. Yeah. So there's that. I mean, and I think that that's an actual thing that you can look at and be, like the Raiders, for example, Antonio Pierce. He's not embarrassing on the same level, but you watch what they did against Pittsburgh, and my God, that's embarrassing. You basically gave that game away four or five different times. They are undisciplined. They don't tackle. They are terrible.
It's a classic Raiders football team is what it is.
Right, but you look at the head coach and you think, well, this guy's just not, he's not cut out for the job.
No, he's not.
So you look at a lot of different situations and I see Sirianni and I go, man, that guy's a clown. And I look at Mike McCarthy in Dallas and I think, my God, that's a dead man walking.
Well, did you hear what Jerry Jones said about Mike McCarthy yesterday?
No, I missed it.
Here he is.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
You buy that?
Yeah, right now. And basically what he's saying is I'm not going to go on the record and say that I'm thinking about making a change. You think I'm an idiot? You think I would do that? No, he's not going to do that. But
I'm not going to play hypothetical.
Exactly. But honestly, hypothetically, Jerry, if you had a coach get, I don't know, embarrassed by a Detroit team at that level, would you think about maybe having somebody else in that spot who maybe would be less embarrassing for you? Because that was embarrassing.
47-9.
And they called off the dogs. They could have hung a 60-piece on them. And that thing, that got away from Dallas early and often. So to your point about the NFC, Philly's got a clown coach. Dallas is in disarray. And then you've got, at the top of the conference, forget the South for a minute, but you've got Washington that looks impressive with a very young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and Minnesota with Sam Darnold. And I like Sam Darnold more than most, but I just don't look at any of these teams top of the conference and think, wow, that team is scary.
So maybe that's the reason more so than what the Niners are doing to just be confident in the Niners' ability to maybe get out of the conference again, because no one else is really having as... Maybe no one else is blowing everyone out of the water, but I mean, they're not... The Niners, despite their struggles, Dibs, might not be as far away from the top of the conference as it feels like they should be, because everyone else isn't as good as they were last year either.
That's true, but I look at the future of the schedule, and forget Kansas City for just a moment, but you do have Tampa, a good team on the road, Green Bay, a good team on the road, and then you've got Detroit, December 30th. So these feel like home field advantage elimination games way further down the road, so... That leads us back to Kansas City, where you don't want to give away another game and be 3-4. And even if you beat Dallas, you're 4-4. And now you go to Tampa, and they might be 6-2 at that point. And now that game feels way more important in terms of home field advantage, right?
Yeah, no doubt it does. From the Niners' perspective, I know we were talking on our show thread before the show, and Lucas Alexander, director of sports back there, saying there's no one in the NFC that scares him as a Niner fan, and the only team still that gets him worried is the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you come out of this game having beaten the Chiefs, and in his mind at least, and I think in the mind of a lot of Niner fans, you think, well, who can stop us? No one in the NFC is good enough. I'm a little worried, particularly and personally, by the Green Bay Packers. They seem to be a team that's only going to get better as time goes along. But I'm kind of with them. It's less to do with the 49ers, more of a general belief that they have talent. They're going to get healthier. McCaffrey will be back at some point. Dre Greenlaw will be back at some point. You're going to get to see Ricky Pearsall for the first time at the latest in a few weeks. Like, you are going to get better. Maybe you have an opportunity to improve more than any other team in the NFL based on your current injuries and who could likely return before the season is over. If you get the job done here on Sunday, you might suddenly look at a team that was 2-3 a couple of weeks ago and then turn around and think that they're legitimately the favorite to win the entire thing.
Yeah, 4-3, and then you'd have Dallas coming in, even though Dallas is off a bye as well. Dallas looks like a team that, if they're not fully broken, they don't look even a shell of themselves, I don't think. Back-to-back wins over the Giants and Pittsburgh, barely. They got absolutely motorboated by New Orleans, and Baltimore beat them, so I don't have a lot of faith in Dallas. So you think about if you can beat Kansas City, and then if you can take out Dallas, which you've done pretty well at of recent years, then all of a sudden you go into the bye hot. Not Dibberclaws hot, but close, 5-3, and then you can start thinking about, you know, grander designs on bigger goals.
Yeah, fade the Divers coming up in a little bit here on 95.7.
I'm not quite hot, but I'm getting closer.
You've won two in a row.
Yeah.
Although last night was a win, but it was not a pretty win.
Chalk that baby up.
You did it. You did a Mahomes and the Chiefs. You won ugly.
Whatever.
That's what you did last night.
I don't even know who that Giants kicker is, but I have an idea, Dable. Why don't you trot him out there again? That guy stinks.
So you picked...
the Natty.
Yeah, Cincinnati minus 3.5, right?
It was a lock.
3.5?
I think it was never in doubt.
It was 3.5, and they won by 10.
All Chase Brown had to do was go down. The game was over.
I know.
The game was over.
Dude, and the Giants had two chances to recover it, and they just could not.
And then Chase Brown runs it in from, what, 35 yards out or whatever
it was. I was looking at my confidence pool, and every favorite covered yesterday. Is that right?
Really?
At least on my sheet. I don't know if the numbers moved, but according to my Excel spreadsheet, which comes out on Tuesday, the spreads that we all had to pick off of, every favorite covered.
Well, that's got to be the first time of the year that has ever happened. because this year has been ripe for the big upset.
The one was it was the Colts, right? 9-point dog. That's the only one.
I think it was like three. Right around three.
The Colts were dogs against the Titans?
Yeah. One outright.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were on the road.
I should have realized that and put some money on that because that seems odd to me. Will Levis ever favored in a football game sounds like a mistake, in my opinion. But that's a conversation for a different day. Let's go back out to the phone lines here on Willard and Dibbs, 888-957-9570. NFC, across the board, you got struggles all over the place. The Niners are not immune from that themselves, but does that give you a little bit more confidence in the Niners' ability moving forward as we gear up for the Kansas City Chiefs? 888-957-9570. Brett is in San Leandro, and he's up next. What's up, Brett? You're on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I got one thing that I like about Purdy and one thing that sports broadcasters across the board irritate me. What do you guys want first?
Let's start with the annoyance.
All right, the annoyance is if this would have happened, everything would be different. That's so annoying to me. If every team could do that with the Niners, and besides the Jets game, they'd be 1-4 right now. Cage fighting, boxing. Oh, the guy was winning all the way up until he got knocked out. It's so irritating to me because that's the way it happened. Everybody could make that argument, and everybody'd be a Super Bowl champion at the end of the day, a world champion, World Series champion. It's just irritating to me. Now, the one thing I really like about Brock Purdy, every time he either throws an interception or has a bad three and out, he sits on the bench and looks like Forrest Gump waiting for a bus. It's just so funny to me. He's so nonchalant about it. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, life's a box of chocolates. Thank you for the phone call. That's a Forrest Gump line.
Yeah, you got it. You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you want from your quarterback. I would rather have a quarterback sit over there and look at the tablet and just, kind of be nonplussed as opposed to what Geno Smith did on Thursday, where he went over there and he looked at the tablet and then he slammed it into his head three times and then he threw it on the ground frustratedly. It's because he was throwing pick after pick.
I think that anger should be directed at DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
My God, DK Metcalf, he's always been kind of a character and he's kind of a player that I feel like from the outside, you want him on your football team. But if you're a fan of the team that he's on, you get frustrated with him almost every single game. First of all, a couple of moments where he didn't really even try to go up and make a play on a football that he could have easily caught. And then the interception in the fourth quarter that was picked off by Renardo Green. We were talking about it in the green room before the show.
Yep.
DK Metcalf has a step on Renardo Green running horizontal towards the sideline. Geno Smith throws it, expecting his star receiver to keep going the same way, keep the same angle, keep a step in front of Renardo Green. As Geno throws it, DK Metcalf breaks down the field, like vertical, allows Renardo Green to step in front of him and for an easy interception. That's going to go down to the box score as a terrible throw by Geno. That's on DK Metcalf, and I'm sure that's who Geno was upset about.
Right, and there was one earlier in the game that was a deep throw down the field, and DK just kind of drifted on it as opposed to putting the foot in the ground and going up and fighting back for a ball that was underthrown.
And then it was George Odom who got a pass breakup with, like, the back of his shoulder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's DK. You know, he's very enigmatic, and he's a bit of a curious character.
Yes.
And I think when things aren't going great, he is quick to not fight for the ball or not, you know, sharpen his route and go back to the ball on the one you're talking about.
They kind of snowball on him, it seems like. All right, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibbs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out how both the Morning Roast and Steiny and Guru reacted to a wild week 6 of the NFL season and started to get ready for Niners versus Chiefs. It's Willard and Dibbs, Grandy in for Willard here on 95.7 The Game. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibbs continues. Mark Randy in for Mark Willard today. He'll be back tomorrow as we begin Chiefs week here on 95.7 The Game. Niners and Chiefs getting set to do battle in 6 days from Santa Clara. A 1:25 kickoff. Dibbs, we're talking through just how much this game means to the 49ers. Is it more than just a regular season game? As Trent Williams said, that's all it is after the Thursday win over the Seattle Seahawks. You've got the Chiefs coming off of a bye. The Niners have their own mini bye, not playing this weekend after playing on Thursday Night Football. It's probably somewhere in between in reality, and it's also heightened by the fact that this is a Niner team that's just sitting at 3-3 so far on the season. You've got to try to rack up as many wins as you possibly can. But as a fan and from my emotional perspective, this game means a lot because I have sat and I've watched the Niners lose to this team over and over and over again in moments that mean a whole lot more than this one. But, you know, I'm probably... You can kind of gauge these things a number of different ways, the way I kind of gauge them, and it's something that happened over the weekend. You know, I'm a big sports guy. You're a big sports guy. A lot of people in your family, they know that, obviously. Like on Saturday, when the Oregon Ducks were taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes, I got texts from people I don't normally get texts from when Oregon plays a football game. They're like, oh, best of luck to your Ducks. This is a big game, right? It's an important one. Number two versus number three. Oregon's first year in the Big Ten. That game means a lot. I guarantee you, by the time Sunday comes around, Dibs, a lot of friends know I'm a Niner fan. They're going to be texting me, oh, Niners-Chiefs, Super Bowl rematch, good luck. I don't get those texts when it's Niners-Cardinals a couple of weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Of course, of course. And that is the nature of all of this. And my wife, who is more of a casual sports fan, is already locked in, and in part because of the Taylor Swift angle and Travis Kelce. And she actually said to me yesterday, if Taylor's going to be there, then you need to get us tickets. And I said, well, first of all, it's not that easy. Like, I can find out her travel plans, and then I can go and execute that, and then we're going to get a sitter and all this. And she was joking, but it spoke to what you're saying about the interest level in this game. And my wife is a very casual fan, and, you know, she'll watch the game when it's on, and she watches the Super Bowl and the big games. But like you were saying, if it's, you know, Niners and Cardinals, she's probably not locked in on every snap. But for this one, it is the Chiefs and Mahomes and Kelce, and for some, Taylor Swift, and it's the Super Bowl rematch and two Super Bowls in a row that the Niners have lost to them, and four straight losses to Kansas City. So all these things make it feel bigger, even than like Buffalo, when they go to Buffalo in December. Well, that's a big game, but not for the casuals, so to speak, because you're not going to have the same level of, you know, awareness of the nuance of this game.
Yeah, you kind of have the special setting, like in Buffalo. It's kind of rare you're in Buffalo.
Yep.
Maybe a little less so for Lambeau, because they are a conference foe and you play them more often. But you kind of get that added into the matchup. This is just a home matchup. Like, Niners at Arrowhead. Last time they played on Arrowhead was the 2018 season. So it's been a while for that as well. That might add something to it as well. But you're right. I mean, it's just these two teams. And these are the two most successful franchises in the NFL over the last 5 years. And even though the Niners have not won a Super Bowl, the Rams have won a Super Bowl, a few other teams have won a Super Bowl, the Buccaneers have won a Super Bowl during that stretch, they haven't had as much success, nowhere near as much success as the Niners have since the beginning of the 2019 season. They ultimately got the job done, but they haven't been to multiple Super Bowls, and the 49ers have been to four NFC Championship games and won two of them. That is not an easy thing for anyone to surpass other than the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is like the two top franchises of the last 5 years going head to head, and that has to mean a lot. 888-957-9570. You and I, Dibs, are talking about the other teams in the NFC, and their struggles might make it a little easier to predict or project success for the 49ers going forward. I know Austin in San Jose wanted to weigh in on that, and we're going to do that right now here on 95.7 The Game. Austin, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. What do you got?
Hey, what's happening, man? Hey, listen, my Dibs, my buddy Dibs, I'm surprised that Dibs, you're allowing this youthful exuberance with respect to this kind of localized phenomena that's Brock Purdy and the Niners. I mean, give them their flowers. They've done well, but the disrespect for the other NFC guys that are playing well, Minnesota, the Commanders, others that are out there that aren't on maybe the 49ers level year over year. But I think for the 49ers to be overlooking these guys is really kind of crazy. I know that the Kansas City Chiefs game is important. I think it's more important to the Niners than it is to Kansas City. It's a business trip for Andy Reid. And by the way, I'll remind you that I know the Niner fans don't want to hear this, but Andy Reid's a Hall of Fame coach. So if he doesn't need to beat the Niners, he's already established as a Hall of Fame coach. So anything that he does from here on is just cherry. And Kelce and Mahomes are already established as icons in terms of what they've already done. So the Niners need this more than anything. But I think Trent Williams said it best. It should be treated as just another game. I mean, you shouldn't overreact to it. The 49ers have bigger problems. I think they should be focused on the NFC more than the Kansas City. So I don't think there's any guarantee that they walk away from the NFC based on what I'm seeing now. I mean, are you certain that they can beat Tampa Bay at home? Are you certain that they could even go to Washington? I want to see Washington. I want to see the Commanders have to play the Niners in the playoffs. I think that would be pretty interesting to have Peters and the ex-49er guys play as Niners. I think that would be intriguing as well. So anyway, I want to hear what you guys have to say. And Dibs, please don't allow this youthful exuberance to continue, man. Thank you.
Austin, thank you for the call. And I don't control the exuberance in the room. And I'll say this, and I've said it to Grandy.
You got to put me in my place.
I've said this repeatedly to you on and off the air. You are young and talented and passionate, and I don't ever want to try to squash that. You're half my age, and you live these games and your emotions a lot more viscerally because you are a younger person, and I'm literally twice as old as you. And, you know, when you've lived as long as I have, you're still passionate about it, but the certain amount of instant perspective hits you in a way that it doesn't hit you when you're 28. So I don't want to try to put you in your place, and I actually want to kind of stoke the fires because this is a really big game. And I'm excited that you are so excited and you're so motivated and you can't wait until Sunday because it's a regular season game, fine. It's one of 17, great. Win or lose, you're still going to play again the next Sunday against Dallas. I get that. But as far as regular season tilts goes, this, looking at the schedule, this is the biggest game of the 17 in terms of just pure sizzle factor.
Oh, no doubt.
So yeah. I'm sorry, Austin, if I'm not putting this young man in his place enough. I can't do that.
Maybe you get a game towards the end of the season where Niners-Lions jockeying for a one seed or a two seed or
that's
something like
one.
That. And then that game thereby means more. Austin maybe has a point. In fact, he does have a point. If you were to say, and I don't say this meaning to dampen the importance of this upcoming game. I think all of you who have been listening know just how much I'm looking forward to this and desperately want the 49ers to put on a good showing. If you were to guarantee, Dibs, 49ers split their next two games, AFC opponent the Chiefs, NFC opponent the Cowboys, if you're just rooting purely for what's best for the 49ers, in terms of record and standings and tie-breaking procedures and postseason positioning, you want to win the NFC game and you want to lose the AFC game.
Like, right.
That's a fact because conference record is a tiebreaker for postseason standings. And it could be the difference in you winning a division. It could be the difference in you being a two seed versus a three seed. You know, whatever the case may be. It could be the difference in you being the seven versus the five or the six or whatever the case is. So that is part of this. And Austin is right there. But there's also this entire other half of this conversation, which takes in a whole lot more than just the black and white, the fact of the matter. And it is so much more emotional than that. And that is what a big part of football is.
Right. Especially when it comes to this matchup where Kansas City's beaten you four consecutive times, and the Colts, as I mentioned earlier, have beaten you five straight times, but those games, all five of them, none of those five were nearly as emotionally charged as these four Kansas City games, two regular season, two Super Bowl. So, yeah, this one, for Niner fans, is one you want a lot more than almost any other game on the schedule. And you mentioned the tiebreaker. If it comes down to the division, who wins the division if you have the same record? It's head-to-head, then it's divisional record, then it's conference record. But when it comes to wild card, it is head-to-head, then it's conference record is the number two tiebreaker for wild card. So if we allow ourselves to think about the Niners not winning the division, which I don't think is likely, but it's possible, then it comes down to conference record. And right now, you're 1-3 in the conference, and Atlanta's 4-0. Tampa's 4-1. Detroit's 4-1 in the conference. Washington's 2-1.
Minnesota's 3-0.
Right. There are a lot of teams.
Chicago's 2-0.
Yeah, all these teams. Green Bay's better than you, conference record. So yeah, if you are guaranteed a split of the next two, it would be better from a standing standpoint to win Dallas, but emotionally, you'd much rather beat Kansas City.
Well, it's kind of funny you have these games back to back, because I know a lot of the conversation about Niners Chiefs has gone to, well, the Chiefs are just in the Niners' head, right? And I know that the morning roast, it was Sam in for Bonte today, so it was Shasky and Sam. They had on Carrington Harrison, his name, a host, out at 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, and he essentially said, no one in Kansas City ever thinks about the 49ers. Meanwhile, everyone out here is angry with the Chiefs, and you get to this matchup, it's all that we can all talk about. It's like that famous scene, I don't know, Dibs, if you ever watched Mad Men, but Jon Hamm's character, the main character in the series, in an elevator with like an intern at his ad agency, and he just looks over at him and says, "I don't even know who you are." Like, that's the Kansas City
right.
Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. That's how the Chiefs treat this. There's so much more, like, not inferiority complex, but just having that monkey on your back. That's this matchup. And then you have Niners-Cowboys, and I would argue in that matchup, the roles are reversed. The Niners are in the Cowboys' head. The Cowboys can't beat the Niners, and they haven't been able to beat them for years. It's kind of a similar matchup. Niners are the have-nots in the first, and they are the haves in the next matchup.
Yeah, and I don't think that Cowboy fan is as obsessed with the Niners as the Niners are with the Chiefs, because the Cowboys are obsessed by their own situation, which is is our quarterback good enough? And how do we get rid of our coach? And our owner is too much of a meddler. And, you know, will he ever not be the owner of the team anymore? And what does that mean? So I think the Cowboys have their own set of issues than the 49ers. The Niners don't really have big issues. We can talk special teams or the defensive coordinator or the rest of it. But when it's Chiefs week, it's all about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid and Spagnuolo. And can you find a way to get this thing done? Because I think the PTSD of it all with the two double-digit leads in the Super Bowl only adds to it. It's not like you were blown out or, you know, you had games that were not in your control. You had two legitimate chances, two times where you had the lead and the game was really there for the winning and you didn't win it. So that, I think, is what leads to all of the angst that Carrington was referencing that Kansas City doesn't have.
Yeah, by the way, to answer your question from like 2 hours ago, Super Bowls in terms of most painful to least painful, 2019, the first loss to the Chiefs, I think that's the most painful.
The most painful, yeah. Wow.
10-point fourth quarter lead. You had it in the bag. You're up 20-10 with like 8 minutes to go. That ball game should have been over. Second most painful, I think, is the first one against the Ravens, just
really?
Because it was the first one. Just because it was the first one.
Yeah.
And I can't really ever imagine feeling like that again because I was 15 years old and it was the first time and I felt like it was going to happen. It was such an emotional roller coaster. Not that last year's, this past year's wasn't painful, but I think that was the third most painful for me because it wasn't as in the bag, I felt like, as the 2019 one was, but they're all painful tips.
Interesting. I would have it totally different. I think last year's was the most painful because... Thank you, Carter. Carter Chickering on the ones and twos. I think that was the weakest of the three opponents.
You're probably right about that, yeah.
I think that was the one where you were the better team going in, and you were the better team for the majority of it, and then you just couldn't quite close it out in regulation, and then overtime was just kind of, not a mess, but overtime went the way overtime went, and you lost it, and the way you lost it with, you know, Mahomes immediately celebrating and Taylor in the box and all of it. That one hurt. And I would say the second worst was the one you referenced, the first one against the Chiefs, because you did have the lead. The Baltimore one for me feels a little bit like found money just because of the way the game went. And again, you were probably as good as, if not better than Baltimore that year, but that game got so far away from you so early that it felt like the comeback was awesome and crazy and the power outage and all the rest of it. Yeah. And then you lose. That one was painful, but for me, that's the third most painful of the three.
I think looking back on it now, maybe it was different in the moment, but looking back on it now, all the pain from those Harbaugh years kind of all morph into that one Super Bowl loss. You have the painful Kyle Williams punt against the Giants in the NFC Championship game, and then you have the Richard Sherman tipped interception against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. That all goes into that Ravens Super Bowl loss, and that's, of course, 3 years of heartbreak and pain kind of in one memory, but... that was a while ago now, and we are pretty far removed from that.
Jacoby Jones, 108-yard kickoff return.
Out of halftime.
Right. So you're down 21-6, and it was a bad half to begin with, and then he takes it 8 yards deep and brings it to the house. Are you seeing a pattern here in special teams?
Special teams, it's not new. These issues are not new, Dibs. It's been bad for years.
I didn't mean to bring that all the way back up, but yeah, 108 yards. That's almost... the longest possible.
Darn near.
You can't go 110 because you'd be out of the back of the end zone.
You go 109.9.
That's about it.
109 and 2.5 feet.
And through it all, you're down 22 points, and yet you come back with a chance to win it. Cut it to 2 with 10 minutes left. Anyway, Grandy, sorry about that.
We did get a text from the 408 on the Comcast Business text line. I was talking about how this is what Carrington Thompson said, host out in Kansas City, said essentially how no one in Kansas City is even thinking about the 49ers. But the 408 brought this up. No one cares about the Niners, but their station made a trolling commercial about the Niners. If you haven't heard it, this is what our sister station, 96... 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Here's what they put together promoting Niners and Chiefs.
Remember when an NFL coach who wears a flat-brimmed hat decided to receive the ball to start overtime and then went limp and kicked a field goal after already losing a Super Bowl 4 years earlier to the same team? Yeah, us too.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, McCole Hardman! McCole Hardman!
Chiefs and Niners, Sunday at 3:25, right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
I wish that wasn't such a fresh emotional wound that I could have the ability to like take a step back and laugh at that, because that is objectively funny. And Dibs, I know you appreciate funny things. I wish I didn't feel so angry hearing that I could laugh at it, but it is physically impossible. I cannot laugh at that.
Yeah, and just to hear the play-by-play call. And, you know, Mecole Hardman, touchdown!
Who didn't even know that he had just won the Super Bowl.
Right. And that's all part of it, this weird overtime. The 49ers become the first team in NFL history to blow a lead in overtime in the Super Bowl. Because that's not a thing. That's not something that had ever happened before where, you know, you actually score in overtime and that's not good enough and you still lose the game. So it's brutal. And I don't think that a win on Sunday completely exercises the demons, but it does, as a fan base, makes you feel a little bit better about not only beating Kansas City, but where you would be in your arc of this season. If you beat an undefeated team in October, that's always a good thing, you know? And it doesn't mean that those bitter, disappointing losses go away, because they don't, but at least then you would have something to lean on if you happen to face Kansas City in February.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go out to the phones in a second. Brian in Palo Alto, we're coming to you in a sec. But to lift our spirits a little bit, Dibs, we do have a final from down in L.A. The Mets have evened up the NLCS at a game apiece, 1-1.
All right.
The Mets knock off the Dodgers 7-3. Former Giant Sean Manaea, the winning pitcher for the Mets today, Dibs.
Yeah, the Mets big with six early runs, and they didn't have to exactly hold on for dear life, but there were some spots
they
in there.
They made a bit of a push.
Yeah, the Dodgers did. The bases loaded at one point with a tying run at the plate. And so, good for the Mets. We're all Mets fans out here.
No doubt.
That's nice. And now we turn our attention to the Guardians. And now we can root against the Yankees.
Yeah. So, what are you just simply straightforward rooting for Mets Guardians World Series?
Yeah.
And then
the Guardians beat the Mets.
Just because you don't want Dodgers and you don't want Yankees?
Correct. And I'm usually, I default to being anti New York only after I'm anti Philadelphia and anti Boston. Mm. Those would be the three biggest cities that I root against. The part of it's East Coast bias. Boston, I probably root against Boston more than I do New York. Just based on my general feelings about the cities, always against Philadelphia, always.
It's so funny that the Mets in this group have somehow become like the underdog, because they're not the Dodgers and they're not the Yankees, even though they have spent the most money. They have the highest payroll in baseball this year.
Right.
But they're still looked at as the lesser of a couple of evils.
And that's partly the demographics of New York. And I was talking to my father-in-law last night at family dinner, and he's reading a book about the Metropolitans and about the history of how the Metropolitans became the New York Mets. And basically, the powers that be in New York at the time all but forced the Dodgers out of town. The Giants were leaving anyway, the New York Giants, and then they basically denied the Dodgers the opportunity to build in Brooklyn. And I can't remember the man's name. My father-in-law was giving me the whole history. And so they basically forced the Dodgers out, and once the Dodgers were out of town, they created the New York Metropolitans, which are the New York Mets.
Interesting.
As a second team. So the Mets are the new team, and they're a little bit more, I think, of the people's team. And I don't know the full demographics of New York, but you know, I've been to a few Mets games, and it feels a little bit more like the people's team, like Man City versus Man United.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Manchester United is the bougie team, Man City is the people's team, although now Man City spends more money.
Yeah.
But the demographics in the city of Manchester are historically that way.
You'll never catch me rooting for the Yankees, much like you'll never catch me rooting for the Dodgers, but it would also be kind of cool to see a Subway Series.
It would. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
And just anyone but the Dodgers is kind of where
Agreed.
We are.
Agreed.
But it, and again, it kind of leads us back to the Chiefs, and this is where I'm having a hard time sports hating the Chiefs because it's Kansas City, and you know Kansas City is not a major metropolitan city, and you know the Giants beat the Royals, and Kansas City just has the Chiefs and the Royals, and not much else going on, and you know Mahomes is a pretty likable superstar, I think. I mean, if he hadn't beaten the 49ers twice, I think that we would all feel differently about the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Right. Like, Josh Allen doesn't trigger anyone.
No.
Because Josh Allen's never beaten the 49ers.
What have you accomplished, Josh Allen?
So I don't know what other team outside of the Cowboys, and, like, you can hate the Packers, and that's cool because there's been a great rivalry here, Niners and Packers. You hate the Rams just on principle because they're L.A., you hate Seattle because of the division and what they've done to you in the postseason. Do you hate Arizona? Really?
No.
Right. And, you don't really hate Minnesota, although that boo-boo is a little annoying. I'll give you that. You don't really hate Detroit, do you?
No. No reason to hate Detroit. Yeah. I'm with you. It's a different kind of sports hate, but they've been the reason why you haven't been able to get your accomplishments, and they're standing in your way. 888-957-9570 as promised. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Brian in Palo Alto standing by. What's up, BPA? You're on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I think the historical context, in my opinion, in importance, I think it's the biggest regular season game since Dallas in 1994 for the Niners because of what's happened before and sort of the psychological baggage that comes from losing to the Chiefs twice, like they lost to Dallas twice. Can you imagine, Dibs, if they had lost that regular season game in 94? I don't think that they would have ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, and I think they have to get over the Chiefs. Yes, there's other things they have to do in the NFC, but they have to win this game. It's just the reality.
I wonder if psychological baggage isn't a fan creation, BPA, more so than the players. Do you think that the players actually feel that?
I think the organization feels it, yeah. I think they've not really been the same this year, and I think it's a carryover from losing that Super Bowl. And I think it could be a springboard game, or it could be a game, something a lot worse if they lose this game. They're going to have a tough time getting where they want to go this year if they don't win this game. So they really do need to win this game, in my opinion. And I'm not super confident. 94, they were all in, and they brought Ray Rhodes in as defensive coordinator, and this year it's Nick Sorensen. And I don't have a lot of confidence in Nick Sorensen at this point. So, but they got to win this game, period, in my opinion. Hey, have a great day, Dibs. Doing great.
Love you, babe. Thanks.
Thanks, BPA. Yeah. I think he's right. It is a springboard game. I'm not so sure I'd say it's the biggest regular season game since 94. They played a regular season game that was win, and you're going to the playoffs. Lose, and your season's over. Maybe if you take out those kind of factors, if it's an October game, a November, a September game, maybe it's one of the biggest in those months. But there certainly have been bigger games in the regular season for the 49ers in recent memory as well. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we got a lot more to get into. I want to dive more into Mahomes versus Purdy. There's interesting arguments that are used on one side that I think are really more accurate and fair for the other side. We can get into that and a whole lot more as we continue on Chiefs Week here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibs continues next on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs.
I walked over here, supposedly this tough guy. He just told a story. Just said, Willard, have you done that?
On 95.7 The Game.
That was Niners legend Ronnie Lott talking about Alex Smith, the guy you talked about earlier today. Almost made that shot.
Missed that, huh?
From across the room.
Heartbreak.
Off the backboard, and then it bounced out. Ronnie Lott talking about Alex Smith. Alex Smith, one of the guys who's played on both the Niners and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
We were talking about that earlier, and Director of Sports Lucas Alexander got in my ear. Not the Alex Smith Bowl, but the Richie James Bowl. Richie James. I remember, what year must it have been? It must have been the 2018 season. It was not a good year. Maybe it was the 2020 season after the Super Bowl loss and then all the injuries, whenever it was. Richie James is like the only active wide receiver that they had that wasn't on the practice squad, and he randomly went off for like 12 catches and 180 yards in a loss, probably.
Is it against the Giants?
It might have been against the Giants. I don't know. You could look through Richie James's game log and find it pretty quickly, because I'm sure it would stick out like a sore thumb, because he has not had the most impressive NFL career. But I remember that randomly, he went off one game because everyone else was out with an injury. But that's another Chief and Niner crossover. Richie James.
Yeah.
The great Richie James.
A lot of crossover, you know, over the years when you get guys who play a long time in the NFL, especially journeyman style like Richie James. You know, you're going to find your way to a team, and if it happens to be the Chiefs, then so be it. And, you know, it's like Patrick McCaw, who has, he's got four rings. McCaw, or at least three. He had two with the Warriors, and he won one with Toronto, I know.
He won a championship his first 3 years in the league.
Right.
And with two different teams.
Exactly.
Two with the Warriors, and then one with the Raptors.
And that's the way that goes sometimes, where you just happen to be a guy on a team that wins, and, you know, you get a ring, so there you go.
Does Jerick McKinnon count? Never played in the regular season for the Niners, but was a Niner.
I wonder. I don't think that counts. I mean, he wasn't on the practice squad. He was just hurt,
he just
right?
He was hurt, yeah.
And then he never played. And then
he played a regular season snap with the Niners.
Yeah, I don't think that counts then.
Yeah, probably
at least
not.
In my book.
How about Kyle Williams? Did you know he was a Chief for one game?
Did he play?
Yeah, he got in the game.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Oh, remember, oh, God. The Niners and Chiefs swapped terrible first-round wide receiver picks. Do you remember? The Niners drafted a receiver out of Illinois.
A.J. Jenkins.
A.J. Jenkins. And then they swapped him for the A.J. Jenkins of the Chiefs. Also a first-round wide receiver who was terrible.
John Baldwin?
John Baldwin. That's exactly who it was.
You guys are pulling these out.
Yes.
Impressive.
They just straight-up swap, and they both did nothing for either team. But those are a couple of more. Former Niner and former Chief, John Baldwin and A.J. Jenkins.
There you go. Not exactly household names.
No.
A.J. Jenkins was during a run where it was basically stop drafting wide receivers.
Please, dear God,
yeah.
Stop.
But they've found a way to get it right with Debo and, you know, Juwan Jennings, another one. And hopefully Ricky Pearsall, who I would imagine he went through the practice today. I didn't see any of the social media coming out. Practice is probably about over by now, but his window opened today, so hopefully Ricky can be another in the long line of successful draft picks for the Niners.
He did practice, and he did break down the huddle.
Oh.
Fred Warner made him break down the huddle.
That's
big
cool.
Day.
That's
big
cool.
Day for the vibes.
That's got to be an awesome moment for him, though, legitimately. I mean, his first training camp, his first preseason as an NFL player, he's dealing with injuries, like football-related injuries, can't even really stay on the practice field that often. Then he finally gets cleared and ready to play. You're, what, 9 days away from the opener?
Yep.
And he's out shopping in Union Square, a couple of blocks from us right here, after doing an autograph session, I think down in Daly City or somewhere else.
Cal Palace, I believe.
Yeah, and comes up here to enjoy himself on an off day, and he gets into a scuffle and gets shot, survives, and now is ready to actually begin football playing just like a couple of months later. It's crazy how this has all turned out, and you got to imagine that's kind of an emotional and a morale boost for a team that maybe doesn't necessarily need it coming off of a win, but it definitely can't do anything bad for the team.
Yeah, and I don't know if they need it, but just to see that player out on the field and actually be cleared to play and cleared to at least start the ramp up to get ready to play, that's emotional for all those guys because, you know, they knew what Ricky went through, and Ricky reportedly told the team that was having a party that night, the night of the day that he got shot, and said, I don't want you to not have fun. You know, I'm going to be okay and go ahead and have your event, and I'll catch up with you when I can. And it was 2 days later, I think, that he was out of practice.
Yeah.
After being shot, so.
And then opening night, the week one, Monday Night Football, was his birthday.
Wow.
And he's out there with the law enforcement. I apologize. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, who helped save his life. And they're out there on the field together before week number one, which had to have been just an amazing moment, and can't wait to see him back out on the field. Obviously, just so thankful that he's all right and okay. But you're right. I mean, the Niners have been better at drafting those skill positions of late, maybe other than running back. Jordan Mason obviously has been good as well, and he's now in his third year. He was not even drafted. I think undrafted rookie.
Undrafted, yep.
So they've had more success at those positions, and you hope that Ricky Pearsall does continue that for the 49ers going forward. But yeah, we're just getting ready for Niners and Chiefs. It is Chiefs week here on 95.7 The Game. And as a reminder that coming up on Wednesday in 2 days, we will be broadcasting live from John Madden Studio as we remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family will be in attendance. Of course, so will Willard and Dibbs hosting their show. And Steve Mariucci will join the show live on site at 3 o'clock. So looking forward to that coming up on Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game. But Dibbs, we were talking about Patrick Mahomes versus Brock Purdy earlier today. I know I was kind of out on an island saying that Patrick Mahomes has had, not on an island saying he's had a poor season, certainly for his standards. It's not good. 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, but Brock Purdy has been more of a driving force to his team's success than Brock Purdy has so far this season. I could even go a step further, Dibs, because so many of the arguments that any person discussing Brock Purdy uses, so many of the classic arguments against Brock Purdy are what? They're things like he's a product of the system.
Yep.
His weapons catch the ball and they turn it into big gains because they are elite, not because Brock Purdy is elite. He doesn't push the ball down the field. He finds the easy completions underneath, all of that, right? Like that's common arguments used against Brock Purdy. Would you call me crazy, Dibs, if I told you all those arguments fit one of these two quarterbacks in this upcoming matchup, and it's not Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I don't think that would be that crazy, especially having watched a lot of the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and you realize what they have and what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and company have been forced to do. They've been forced to play in a different fashion, and they are yet to score 30 points in a game, and they are 5-0. They've got 27 as their high water mark, and that was against Baltimore in the opener, the Thursday night opener, and they won that game, but they've won with 17, they won with 22, and they've had to win ugly because they don't have a very good offense. And I mentioned it last hour that Jordan Mason has more yards rushing than the entirety of the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City has 589 yards total running the ball, and that is through 8 different guys who have carried the ball. And that includes Mahomes and Xavier Worthy, of course. Travis Kelce also has a carry, incidentally. He's got a 1-yard carry on the year. But you've had Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, and Carson Steele, and Samaje Perine have been your primary ball carriers. And so none of those guys is a household name. None of them is actually very good. Pacheco is good, but he's been hurt. So you can't run the ball. And when it comes to throw the ball, you've got your number one receiver, Rashi Rice, who's been out. Travis Kelce is having kind of a quiet year. Your rookie, Xavier Worthy, is really a bit of a one-trick pony at this point in his career. He's a speed burner, and if you can't get him free over the top, then he's not really that usable. Then you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, Noah Gray, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman. You've got nothing.
The who's who of...
You've got nothing as an offense. You have no ground game, and offensively you have two weapons. A one-trick pony who runs a 4.240, and a really good tight end who sneakily is now 35 years old. So I don't know what you expect from Patrick Mahomes when you've got no ground game and you've got virtually no air game.
Yeah. We'll get back to that in a sec. First, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Want to dive more into that in a second, Dibs? But first, we do got to make the people some money, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, let's
it
go.
Is Monday evening, and it's time to fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs. What's the lock of the day?
The point spread, Dibs. It is 1.5. The Bills minus 1.5 or the Jets plus 1.5.
It's a pretty easy one for me, and I'm one win away from officially being hot.
You've won two in a row.
I gave you the Thursday night Niner lock, and that one was really not in much doubt. And I gave you a Sunday night lock just because I'm a giver. Dibberclaws gives, and Dibberclaws won again with Cincinnati. That one was very much in doubt. There's an expression, Grandy, called the dead cat bounce, and I think that it is based mostly in politics, but...
A dead cat bounce?
Yeah, I don't want to be too graphic, but if you drop a dead cat, the dead cat will bounce, and...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.